Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to give you a range of emotions today. You're going to hop on the roller coaster. I got our usual stories here on how Donald Trump is really, really a terrible businessman. More facts on that. After the last story, it was hilarious. So remember, New York Times reported in 1995 Donald Trump lost nearly $1 billion. I had tweeted about it, spoke about it, did a segment about it, and basically said, what good businessman? Like, who can say, I lost $1 billion, and then somebody pats you on the back and they're like, you're a good businessman? That doesn't exist. But you'd be surprised how many people are like, yeah, clearly you don't know how business works, Kyle. Wait, what? They act like if you asked Donald Trump at the time in 1995, hey man, how do you feel about your personal income for your tax returns for this year? That he would say, oh, and mean it. Oh, I'm doing great, because he actually would say, tremendous, believe me. But they act like he would, you know, in his heart of hearts, believe I'm super rich because I lost $1 billion. How do you deny math? It's one thing to deny like ideological facts of reality, you know, but for math, where the numbers are right in front of you, negative $915 million, and some people are like, nope, best businessman ever. What? So I have some more facts on that front for you. Again, not that the facts will sway these clowns, but we got to discuss them because it's in the news. I also have some new cases of Donald Trump legalized bribery, corruption, in the political system. So specifics there. Mike Pence, his running mate, if anybody thought his hands were clean, no, sir. When he was governor of Indiana, he was doing a little, he was doing some favors for people as well. Megyn Kelly and Sean Hannity went at it, which is funny. I also have a heartbreaking story later on in the show. It's about somebody who died in jail. We have a video on that, and I have all the details of the story. And later on, it gets a little bit more fun. We have conspiracy theories from Rush Limbaugh. We got Justin Bieber somehow made it in the show. James Madison University goes full social justice warrior with their language policing. We're going to discuss that a little bit and much more. All right, so let's get started. And Donald Trump's business record is up first. Let's do it. Newsweek broke a news story here on Trump's abysmal business record. The New York Times found that in 1995, he lost nearly $1 billion. We covered that last week. Well, now we have more information from the earlier days. So they report here, Donald's taxes for 1978 showed personal losses of $406,379. That's $1.5 million in present-day dollars. Things grew worse in 1979 when he reported an income of negative $3.4 million. Are you sensing a trend here? Trump did not have millions of dollars set aside to deal with these financial catastrophes. His banking record showed he had an average annual balance in his Chase Manhattan savings account of $378,000, a large amount to be sure, but not even enough to cover his 1978 losses. His checking account at the same bank had an average annual balance of $22,500. In accounts at two other banks, Trump had total savings of $14,000. Other than family trusts, that was it. So do you understand that? They're really digging deep into his finances here. They did a great job doing some investigative reporting and figuring out these numbers. And, yeah, the dude was Brokey McBrokington. Again, it's amazing. He's successfully sold the facade of, like, I'm rich. I'm a billionaire. Tremendous. Believe me. And he's been doing this act for the longest time. But when you dig into his records, again, New York Times found out in 1995, lost nearly $1 billion. Now we go a little further back here. We get into the 1970s and 1980s, and still negative $3.5 million in this case, negative $400,000 in that case. And they go, yeah, well, if you think he had a cushion to fall back on, we looked into his bank accounts, and his bank accounts still, you know, you could say $378,000. That's the right number, right? Yeah. Like, that's a lot of money, but he's so much more in debt. So you're probably thinking, hold on now, what happened? I mean, anybody else in that situation? I mean, you know what ends up happening. You can't owe that much money for that long. We do have personal bankruptcy. That's a thing. Now, Trump never went through personal bankruptcy. He went through 6 business bankruptcies, but he never went through personal bankruptcy. So what happened? Well, now we know, quote, based upon files from the New Jersey Department of Law and Public Safety, Trump applied for a gaming license in 1980, which led to a state investigation into his background. What they uncovered was the fact that Trump had suffered a series of financial setbacks as a developer in the late 1970s that forced him to turn to his father for financial help in the form of a $38 million credit line at the bank, which Trump promptly maxed out. This guy is the biggest loser on the planet and the biggest fraud on the planet. Whenever he got into trouble, he went to Daddy, and Daddy just said, I'm gonna put $38 million aside for my fuck-up son, and then if/when he continues to fuck up, all right, son, go ahead, do what you gotta do. Oh, shit. He quickly ran through all the money. So understand, everything about this guy is a lie. First of all, his original argument was, I've built a tremendously successful company, and I did it when my dad only gave me $1 million, a small loan of $1 million. First of all, that's not small. Second of all, he didn't just give you $1 million. He actually gave you over $10 million. I believe it was $14 million up front. Now, when he died, you got way more because he was worth upwards of $250 million. So you do the math on that. Split that between Trump and his siblings. And he could have had over $400 million. Again, the estimates aren't exactly clear, between $250 million and $400 million. So you got $14 million up front. And then when he died, you got way more, maybe over $100 million. And then also on top of that, when you were in trouble, as you often were financially, because you suck as a businessman, Daddy was there to help. $38 million credit line. Go ahead, buddy. Do what you got to do. The guy's just a failure. How many times have we gone through the list, man, of his failed businesses? Trump Steaks. Remember that? Nobody does. Congratulations. You're just like everybody else. You want to know why? Because nobody bought them. They were steaks that were sold at the Sharper Image. I think about that every day. I can't wrap my mind around it. Who sells steaks only at the Sharper Image and thinks they're going to make a profit? That makes no sense. It's like coming out with a new line of cheese and only selling it at the Sports Authority. That is ridiculous. There was also Trump the Board Game. There was GoTrump.com, Trump Magazine, Trump Vodka. Everything, bankrupt, went under, goes under, failure, terrible, disaster. And then at the end of it all, Trump Mortgage Company, which he made at the fucking height of the bubble. Right when the bubble was about to burst.
I'm getting into the mortgage game. It's going to be good as far as the eye could see. All right, let's open this thing up. Oh, shit, we lost all our money.
And then he has the nerve at the end of all of it to turn around and say,
tremendous, believe me, I'm the greatest businessman on the planet.
So remember, the only way he actually makes money, he stumbled into the TV show where he pretended to play a successful business person, so he made money that way, and also selling the rights to his name to put it on buildings when other people want to use the Trump brand. So everything was built off his hubris and his arrogance and bragging nonstop about how rich he is. And some people bought into that facade. So then the name became worth something. So they pay him to just put the name on the building. That's it, man. That's it. It's all a trick. It's all a trick. And should any... seriously, though, should we all be surprised? Should anybody be surprised? Dude, look at the guy. No, seriously, look at the guy. Does he really come across... I mean, I guess he does the act well of the, I'm a straight shooter and I'm going to tell it like it is. But he always drops little clues as to how ridiculous of a person he is and how insecure he is. The story just broke the other day of Mike Pence, according to the polls, won the VP debate. So Trump in... a rally the next day is out there saying,
Mike Pence did a tremendous job. People are congratulating me for how well I did in having him win the debate. He went out there and took credit for it. Who does that?
That's unbelievable. Then there were other reports of how apparently behind the scenes, Trump to his staffers was actually a little bit mad that Mike Pence won because he thinks he's overshadowing him on the ticket now. The guy is a buffoon. He's a buffoon narcissist. Even his strategy he stumbled into. We spoke about this. Great investigative reporting that found out that Donald Trump reached out to Mitt Romney's top financial bundler. Now, this is a guy who's well-connected, can really get you money and do great fundraising if you get him on your team. So Trump had a couple meetings with this guy where he's trying to get him on his team to raise money for him from corporations and big money interests, wealthy people, so on and so forth. So the guy thinks Trump is a fucking buffoon. He thinks he's going nowhere in the primary. So in the meetings, he's trying to get out of the meetings. So what does Trump say? He finally lays it out there after a few meetings. Can I count on you to come on board with us and help us try to win the presidency? Can I count on you for that? The guy doesn't want to fucking do it, but he also doesn't want to burn any bridges. So what does he say? He makes it up on the spot. He says, you know, Don, I have to say, you're in a unique position to maybe do really well by going out there and arguing you don't want to take any money, by saying you're for the people and you don't believe in big money because big money makes all the other politicians puppets. So if you don't raise any money and you tell them you're self-financing and you argue that, maybe you'll win. And Trump was like,
tremendous, believe me, I like that, let me just tell you.
And so the guy gets out of the meeting, he's like, I fucking dodged a bullet. Trump uses that strategy,
wins on that strategy.
Now, that actually is a fantastic strategy, but the guy was just trying to get out of the meeting. And Trump was like, oh, that's a good strategy, and he used it, and he won. That's how fed up people are with this corrupt system. But he stumbled his way into that strategy. It was an accident. He was trying to raise money like everybody else. But the guy, the big-time players didn't like him. They know he's a fraud. They know his record. You think, like, people who are in the financial world, they know what Trump is. They know he's a fucking fraud. They know he's a con. So they're like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And they're trying to wiggle their way out of it, giving any support to him whatsoever. So on the one hand, you could say that's a good thing because he's going to be a maverick and he's not going to listen to them and so on and so forth. But on the other hand, it just is true that the guy's a con artist, the guy's a fraud, he's been a failure his entire life, and it's proven day in and day out with new stories that come out about how terrible he was as a businessman, and how unintelligent he is, man. He really is totally and utterly incompetent. Look, none of this, I just want to be clear about something. None of this... me discussing these facts about Trump, I need everybody to not be stupid and not think like,
well, that means that now he loves Hillary and he's on Hillary's team and he doesn't see anything wrong with what she does.
No, how many times have we covered the story? The Clinton Foundation is pay-to-play corruption. The Clintons have raised over $3 billion in their lifetime from donors. The list goes on and on. She's flipped her vote on a bankruptcy bill that helps corporations because of money that she took. She took over $600,000 from Goldman Sachs. Yes, she's going to do their bidding, so on and so forth. I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton. But don't think Trump is the answer when Trump is a fucking idiot. So that's what I need everybody to understand. Because there is no, like, if you buy into the fucking ridiculous mental gymnastics arguments of like, no, he's really a good businessman, even though he couldn't do anything but fucking lose money every year. Well, you're a silly person, man. What do you want me to tell you? You're just not playing for Team Trump in that respect, and you're working backwards from your conclusion of he must be great, he must be good, I don't know, because whatever, he's not Hillary. That's not convincing any more than the reverse is convincing. So let's all wake up here. Let's all understand what we're dealing with and who we're dealing with. And this election is a matter of complete and utter idiot incompetence versus insider corruption. I mean, that's what you're dealing with, and that's a no-win situation. All right, let's go on to Wall Street Journal here. And what else they found about Donald Trump. Wall Street Journal did some digging on Donald Trump's previous political donations, and they found some straight-up corruption. So they say Donald Trump donated about $140,000 to state attorneys general or candidates for the office between 2001 and 2003, some of whom were reviewing cases or decisions that would impact the real estate mogul's business. Trump in particular donated to several attorneys general in New York going back to the 1980s, and attorney general in Florida as well. Okay, so first random side note here. I hate the phrase attorneys general. Could we just go with attorney generals? I know that's technically not right, but when you say the S at the end of the first word instead of the second word, it just feels weird. Attorneys general? Ugh. Why not say general attorneys? Can we flip it? That would, I'd get like that more. Anyway, sorry, I'm weird and fucking, I want to say a perfectionist with stuff like that, but that's not perfectionism because that's not the right way to say it. I'm just strange with order and shit like that. But anyway, yeah, so what is he doing? He's trying to pay his way out of getting investigated and, you know, going to court and being found guilty of all these fucking horrific things that he does, which do break the law. I mean, there's countless stories of this, violating all these different codes and rules and laws when building in Florida, and people in Florida are pissed about it, and they fucking try to take action against him, but he goes to the attorney general, and he's like, bitch, take some of this cash. And then what happens? The attorney general is like, well, you know, we looked into it. Turns out he's doing absolutely nothing wrong in any way, shape, or form. So everybody needs to shut the fuck up. I mean, again, so there are countless stories of him just stiffing workers. Like, he just doesn't pay workers. He also, there's some undocumented immigrants he hires, pays them less than minimum wage. You know, the list goes on and on of all the various ways he fucked people over. Now, his dodge was, well, what if they did a bad job? Then I'm not going to pay him. Tremendous, believe me. When you dig into it, they spoke to, like, one of them, a reporter brought one of them up to Donald Trump, like, oh, this, whatever, some painter, would you use this person again? He's like, oh, absolutely. Did a great job. They go speak to that painter. The painter's like, he didn't fucking pay me. He owes me $80,000. So he's just a fucking deadbeat is what he is. But he does all these horrific things and breaks the law in all these different places. Trump University, classic example. I mean, that is just out-and-out fraud. We went over all the details of that case. And it's unbelievable how obvious it is and clear it is that it's fraud. They hired people to do the classes who had been in jail because they were con artists. They tell us now. Yeah, it was a classic scam. Upselling was one of the things they did. People buy in to get into Trump University, and then you say you try to single out the people who you think are suckers. You try to target, you know, disabled people, senior citizens, and you say, oh, no, it's great that you're in the class, but you got to understand, to really get the secrets, you got to give another few thousand dollars and get the premium level, bitch. And then sometimes people get it. They promised, you know, when they sold the thing, Trump will be there and he'll talk to you about the stuff and you got to take pictures with him. You know what happened? It was literally a cardboard cutout of him that they had everybody take a picture with. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, he does shit like this. And then somehow people, I don't understand, how the fuck is he even getting away with it? Well, it's because the people who would be responsible for prosecuting him, he fucking paid them off. He greased their palms. So they, you know, every now and then they might do something. Oh, you're not technically registered as a university, so you legally can't call it a university, so you got to stop calling it a university. A little slap on the wrist. But any real, you know, crackdown? Well, only recently when the pressure got too great and there was too much media attention, and then like, okay, well, our hand is forced. We might have to actually do something about this. But when he was more under the radar, he just gets away with it. Here, for $140,000 spread for a bunch of different attorneys general, well, then they're like, okay, look, it only takes $6,000 for me to shut the fuck up. I'm not going to go after you. This is the way politics works, man. And understand, it's really more human nature than anything else and the way the system is structured. So if you have a system where people can donate to people who are responsible for making decisions like that, well, obviously people who deserve scrutiny and who are trying and who are doing illegal things, they're going to give money to those people because that's a way for them to, you know, skirt responsibility. If you make friends with the people who are supposed to come after you and give them some money, they're much less likely to come after you. Again, fucked up system and human nature. Well, Trump took advantage of that for his business, which allowed him to get away with things that were illegal. Now, again, this isn't to say Hillary Clinton is great because, she does very, very similar things. I mean, the Clinton Foundation is the clearest example of pay-to-play corruption. The emails with all the classified information, top-secret information, she's sending back and forth. There's no security on the server, but the FBI's like, she's not literally a Russian spy, so it's okay. So that's bullshit, too. She's skirting the law, too. She's getting away with shit, too. But don't think Trump is the answer, because he's not. He's just as dirty as any other corrupt politician and insider, and stuff like this proves it yet again. Okay. One more before we take our first break. Mike Pence. Just go to him and his fucking corruption. It is endless, motherfucker. A new investigation caught Mike Pence, Trump's VP, in some questionable acts as governor of Indiana. Questionable to say the least. IBT reports here, as casino industry cash went around Indiana's corruption laws and into groups supporting Mike Pence's campaigns, the GOP governor used his power to help gambling interests. An International Business Times MapLight review of campaign finance records shows that despite Indiana's statutes officially banning gaming industry donations to state officials, Indiana gaming interests gave more than $2 million to groups supporting Pence since he first began running for governor. That includes gaming-linked lobbying firms and their employees donating nearly $500,000 directly to Pence's campaign account. Okay, so before these donations happened, Mike Pence runs as a religious conservative, as a far-right kind of guy, but hey, we're in Indiana, moral values, family values, so on and so forth. And, in fact, he went as far as to pledge to basically crack down on gambling and not let it expand because it's bad for morality and ethics and yada, yada, yada. You know their shtick that religious brand of conservative likes to go on about. So that was his position then. After he took the money, he signed multiple bills to expand gambling. Now, let's be clear. I wish it was legal nationwide. The point is, he flipped his position based on the money. And if you're willing to flip it based on stuff like this, when he was trying to take a principled stand against it because he thinks it's harmful to morality for whatever fucking reason, and then he flips to being for it just because he got the cash, well, that's Mike Pence in a nutshell, and that's going to be Mike Pence on every issue. So, and this isn't to exempt the Democrats because we all know Hillary Clinton is just as guilty of this as anybody else. But it's to show, yet again, it's not like Trump and Pence are immune to it. Fuck no. They may very well do the exact same thing if they were to get elected. So a classic, standard, disgusting, corrupt, insider, elite politician. I'm taking a stand against this. Oh, you gave me money? I'm taking a stand for this. You know what this reminded me of? It was Lindsey Graham and some other politicians who took money from Sheldon Adelson. And we had, you know, online gambling for a while in the U.S. was kind of thriving. It was a pretty big industry. I have friends who got rich playing online poker. So you had Sheldon Adelson, who made his money from casinos, donate to Republican politicians. Republican politicians shut the whole online gambling thing down. Now, again, you're like, what? Why would that happen? Sheldon Adelson was donating to them. He's in favor of gambling. Yeah, but he views online gambling as his competition. So all of a sudden, he flipped on a dime, and he's out there making arguments and paying politicians to make arguments that, you know, gambling really hurts the family values of people in this country. What are we going to do about the kids? These poor kids, they're growing up in an environment they can lose all their money to gambling. You know, gambling really shouldn't be legal online. Still coming to my casinos, bitch. They're awesome. But online, terrible. No, get rid of it there. So it's all, look, it's all fake. Like, if you think these Republican politicians and the Democratic politicians, you think they're actually having a debate of ideas and competing philosophies, and I stand in this position on this issue for reasons X, Y, and Z. I stand on that position. It's got nothing to do with that. They don't have core values. They don't have principles. They're greasy, sleazy, disgusting, grimy politicians. That's what they are. So, hey, I go where the money takes me. If the money's, you know, all of a sudden in favor of gambling, well, fuck all that other shit I said about how I'm religious and I'm against gambling. Now I'm for gambling. That's Mike Pence. And it's going to happen on virtually every issue. He could say, they could say whatever they want. Oh, yeah, TPP is so bad. Let me tell you, I'm so against it. Wait until all the money starts flowing in from all the different companies involved in TPP. Then you know what they'll do? And by the way, I think Hillary would do the same thing. They get the money. They go, oh, look, we tweaked two or three provisions in the TPP. This is the new TPP. It's not the old TPP. This is a great trade deal. This one here, pass it. This is what politicians are all about, man. This is what they do. So the answer is you got to get all that private money out of the system because it's a cancer upon the system. If you have elections that are clean by law, namely public funding of elections, well, then who are the politicians going to represent? If it's you and me and Grandma Maud down the street paying the politicians, they're much more likely to represent you and me and Grandma Maud. But if it's fucking ExxonMobil paying them, you know, if it's the defense contractors paying them, who are they going to represent? They're going to represent them because they're the one that are paying them. So you ban private donations, you do clean elections, and you're much more likely to have a government that represents the people. It's not that wild. It's not that wacky. It's a common thing. I wrote my thesis on it when I was getting my political science degree. You know, there are countries that have much cleaner systems than we do. It really is a no-brainer. And the odds of a politician rising above the systemic corruption that we have, slim to none. I mean, there are a few. You know, Bernie Sanders, to the best visibility, rises above it. Ron Paul, actually, to his credit, the lobbyists notoriously, infamously, would pass his office because they're like, that guy ain't going to do shit for us. Because he's actually principled and he's even against corporate welfare, not just welfare. So, but Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, you could point to some people in the Progressive Caucus who really managed, even in this grotesque system, to not get corrupted. But 99.9% of those politicians are fucking corrupted. So we got to change the system. Okay. Break time. When we come back, we have some internal fighting going on at Fox News, and we're going to laugh about it. And, need I say it one more time? And we have a new analysis out on rich people dodging their taxes. And the numbers will make you very angry, as they should. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Okay, let's go to the internal Fox fight, because this will make us smile. We have some internal fighting going on at Fox News, and it's hilarious. So Megyn Kelly sniped at Hannity and Trump last night. Let's watch.
Entertainment Tonight this evening, which is why we just found out that when she went on the Steve Harvey show, she had every single question given to her in writing in advance, and then she feigned surprise as the questions were asked. And Donald Trump, with all due respect to my friend at 10 o'clock, will go on Hannity, and pretty much only Hannity, and will not venture out to the unsafe spaces these days, which doesn't exactly expand the tent for either one of them. There, that's my two cents.
Damn! Donald Trump doesn't go to, quote, unsafe spaces. Well, Mediaite took this clip, threw it out there, you know, tweeted it, and Hannity saw it, so he responded to it, at Megyn Kelly on Twitter, "You should be mad at Hillary Clinton. Clearly, you support her. And Donald Trump did talk to you." Oh, shit. Now, this has been building for a while because apparently, like, right after the debate, when Trump immediately ran over to Sean Hannity to talk to him, Megyn Kelly said something to the effect of, it'll be interesting to see if Donald Trump actually moves on to talk to some actual journalists. Ooh, diggums. So, again, she's doing that, taking a shot at Hannity, because Hannity, everybody knows he's a partisan hack. He's a Republican through and through, and, he's been a cheerleader for Donald Trump, and Megyn Kelly's, I don't know, I guess, mad about that. I don't know exactly what she's thinking. Is she thinking that he somehow brings down the reputation of Fox News? I mean, the reputation of Fox News is already a disaster. Look at what happened with Roger Ailes. Everybody's known they're far-right-leaning for decades. So, I don't know exactly what she's getting at, but they don't like each other. They don't like each other. Sean Hannity does not like Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly does not like Sean Hannity. And yeah, it might have something to do with the fact that he keeps getting Donald Trump on the show because they're butt buddies. And Megyn Kelly's like, here I am trying to ask actual questions, and I get no fucking time. Now, it is true that she spoke to him, or he spoke to her, I should say. But it was a while ago, first of all. Second of all, why do you think he's not continuing to talk to her? And why does he not do it on a regular basis? Because she actually does ask some harder questions. By the way, not going as far as some other people do and say, oh, she's a good journalist. Pump your brakes. Sometimes she gets just as right-wing and hacky as anybody else on Fox News. But yeah, on average, you look at her work and it's better than somebody like Sean Hannity, which is not hard to do, and she will ask some harder questions. So some internal fighting there going on at Fox. But I want to come back to that idea that Kelly alluded to, that, you know, Trump, he doesn't want to go to unsafe spaces. That is totally true. And also, what we need to acknowledge, I've spoken about this before, unfortunately I haven't heard anybody else pick it up and run with it, even though they should, because it appears obvious to me, that Donald Trump, as many people who support him, view him as like this bulwark against social justice warrior PC police culture. He embodies that. He's the right-wing PC police. He's a right-wing social justice warrior. Now, I'm not just saying that. It's been proven by his actions. For example, he sued Bill Maher over a joke Bill Maher did, talking about how Trump should prove that he's not the love child of his mother and an orangutan. Yeah, that's obviously a joke. But he goes and he presents it to a court, and he goes, I'm suing Bill, give me millions of dollars. Give me millions of dollars because I proved it. Because Maher was saying, you keep asking Obama for his birth certificate, he proved it, so I'm going to flip it back on you, you prick. You prove that you're an orangutan is not your dad. It's obviously a joke. Bill Maher's a comedian, for fuck's sake. Sues him. He also sued The Onion over a satire piece that was harsh to him. Dude, it's satire. It's fucking satire. How are you so ridiculous that you don't realize that, or you don't care, your feelings are so hurt that you have to sue? Imagine a little bitch, far left, authoritarian left, social justice warrior on a college campus sued somebody because somebody made a joke about them. All the right-wingers in the world would rightfully come out and say, oh, come on, get over it,
Like, are you kidding me? We have free speech. Oh, you're fucking Eagles, Bruce. Who gives a shit? Get over it, you pampered little prick. And they'd be right if they said that. But when it's Donald Trump, oh, no, we want to vote for him for president of the United States. Then, of course, there's the famous story of him in a rally where he says we need to, quote, open up the libel laws to sue the media more for when they write stories against him. He had a media blacklist where he banned media that dissented too much. Media that held him accountable too much and wrote too many negative stories about him, he just banned them from his events. Dude, you're running for president of the United States. How are we – why are we supposed to believe that if you get elected, you wouldn't act the same way? Of course you'd act the same way and you'd ban outlets that come after you. And finally, the most important point, skipped a debate because he was afraid the moderators would be too tough on him. That is the ultimate PC police, social justice warrior thing to do. Imagine a Democratic politician. Imagine President Obama. Imagine Hillary Clinton said, you know, I would go to this, but I don't think they're treating Obama fairly. If Obama spoke in the third person. Hillary. I don't think they're treating Hillary Clinton fairly, so I'm not going to go to this debate. People are like, what the fuck are you talking about? You want to be president of the United States? You can't handle a tough moderator? Everybody would go, this is ridiculous. This is social justice warrior culture, PC police culture. What are you doing? Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Oh, your feelings are going to be hurt from the tough moderator. Get the fuck over it, bitch. But with Trump, somehow, in the minds of these stupid followers, they flip it. Oh, yeah, he's such a macho man because he's scared and running like a bitch from a tough moderator. By the way, who was that tough moderator? Megyn Kelly of Fox News. Remember the famous incident? She's got blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. Well, then the debate after that, where she was supposed to moderate, he's like, you know, see, what happened was I was going to go, but things come up, son. So I'll go do a fundraiser for the veterans. But don't believe me, I'm not running because I'm scared and because they're going to be tough on me. Yes, Donald Trump. Just as much as any social justice warrior, authoritarian left college kid, he loves his safe space. And if you don't acknowledge that, it's because your fucking head is in your ass. Okay. Next. Let's go to rich people dodging their taxes. A very, very substantive, very important story here. We have a new analysis out on rich people dodging taxes to report to you guys today. The International Business Times explains here, the Financial Accountability and Corporate Transparency Coalition analyzed SEC filings from 367 Fortune 500 companies. In 2009, U.S.-based multinationals held about $1.25 trillion in overseas tax havens. By 2015, that number climbed to $2.5 trillion. They say, quote, to put that in context, it is an amount larger than the GDP of France. All right, so look at those numbers. There was over $1 trillion more put into offshore tax havens from just 2009 to 2015. So there's a lot more tax dodging going on today, and there's been a massive increase recently. And they say just from the U.S., there's so much tax dodging that it's more than the entire GDP of France. That's a mind-blowing fact. Now, this includes companies like Nike doing it, Apple, Goldman Sachs. To give you more specifics, Nike has 55 tax haven subsidiaries. They paid about 1% in taxes in $10.7 billion. Unreal. So let me just put that into perspective for you a little bit. If you make $40,000, $80,000, you know, what are you doing? You're paying maybe a 20%, 25% rate thereabouts. $10.7 billion for Nike. 1% tax rate because they're using 55 tax haven subsidiaries. Is that a fair system? Does that make sense to you? So you bust your ass. You're an accountant. You're a construction worker. You're a police officer, you're a teacher,
whatever the fuck you are. You know, you're making a middle-class living. You're getting by, but, you know, and you'd like more just like anybody else would. You got to pay your fucking taxes. You got to pay your 20% or whatever the fuck it happens to be even after you take all your goddamn deductions. Nike, gigantic company, $10.7 billion, 1%. Let me give you more. Goldman is using 987 tax haven subsidiaries. Goldman Sachs staying classy as always. Remember, they're most known at this point for doing fraud on a legendary scale. What they did right before the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession is they would sell these toxic packages. They would put together these subprime mortgages, sell them to unsuspecting clients while making the sales pitch. You're going to make a lot of money off these. You got to get in on this. And then they would turn around, as they're doing that, they would turn around and bet on those same packages to fail that they just sold as awesome. So they knew it was going to fail. They're making money two ways. Hey, this is great. Anyway, bet on that to fail. Fraud 101. What happened? Nothing but maybe a little slap on the wrist here. They're a little fine. Nobody goes to jail. You go rob a fucking liquor store for a six-pack, you're going to jail, bitch. You effectively steal millions, if not billions of dollars from people and the U.S. economy. You know the right people. A little slap on the wrist. Apple has $214.9 billion in overseas shelters. And if it paid taxes on those profits, it would owe $65.4 billion. That's how much they're dodging in taxes. Apple alone, $65.4 billion. After laying all that out for you, I want to come back to two facts on tax dodging, which really put it into perspective. These are facts that we've spoken about on the show for a while now. But there's one Cayman Islands address that has over 18,000 companies registered to it. Well, that's obviously not because there's 18,000 storefronts in this address. That's not the case. No, it's the case that they're dodging taxes, and they're barely trying to cover it. It's like, no, yeah, that's what we do. Same address everybody fucking has. There. Now you don't have to pay your taxes. And you ready for this? The worldwide tax dodging industry is a $20 trillion industry. You wonder... I don't get it, man. How is it that recent Oxfam report found that the 62 richest people in the world have more wealth than the bottom 50% of the world? 62 people have more than 3.5 billion people. How does that happen? This is how it happens. You turn around to the politicians, you go, take some money, bitch. Don't say anything. And then when nobody's looking and you just paid them off so you're covered for, you know, as far as the law goes, they have all these loopholes. You turn around, you exploit the loopholes. You make billions, you pay 1% in taxes or nothing. You just keep it over there, pay nothing. Some of these companies, Honeywell, for example, we covered this before, they have a negative tax rate. They get a gigantic subsidy at the end of every year. I think one was as much as like negative 62% or something ridiculous like that. So we have a corporatocracy. You understand that? Or we have an oligarchy. Government of buying for the rich, government of buying for the corporations. All the rules are rigged so that they have loopholes, they have outs, while you bust your ass and you have to pay your taxes. Remember, at the end of this story, I'll leave you with this. Remember what Donald Trump said in the debate against Hillary Clinton. By the way, not saying Hillary Clinton isn't part of the elite. I think they're both part of the elite, Trump and Hillary, in the sense that they know the right people. But what did Trump say? Hillary was arguing, look, you know, you're hiding your tax returns. There's a few reasons why that could be, but one of the biggest ones is probably you're paying much less in taxes than you say you are, or you're paying no taxes. And what did Trump say? That makes me smart. That's the ideology and the philosophy and the mentality of Nike. That's the mentality of Apple. That's the mentality of Goldman Sachs. That's the mentality of all of Wall Street. That's the mentality of all the multinational corporations. That's the mentality of the ultra-rich elites who run society. You pay them, they don't. That makes me smart. That's what they think. Okay. All right, I'm going to hold off on Do I have enough time for this? I don't think I do. I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, fuck it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. I was going to wait for after the break for this one, but I'm just going to do it now. This is a super duper duper sad story. I have an incredible story for you about a father of four who died in jail. Ryan Riley lays out the facts here for us. He says, Michael Sabby was arrested on July 19, 2015, after getting into an argument with his wife over money, according to a police report. Sabby's wife told an officer that he threatened her before getting out of the car and walking away. Another officer located Sabby, who denied threatening his wife. Due to the alleged threat, Sabby was arrested for third-degree assault on a household or family member, a misdemeanor. Okay, so he was placed in a for-profit jail directly on the border of Texas and Arkansas. The guards at this jail get about $10 an hour, and they're largely untrained. So let's watch what happened, and then I'm going to give you more facts after. Died. You heard it there. He kept saying, please, please, I'm sorry, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. He said it 19 times. So let me give you more facts on the story here so you understand the full context. They say at about 3:30 a.m. on July 20th, less than 12 hours after his arrest, Sabby told jail staff he was having difficulty breathing and could not breathe while lying down. A nurse treated him for a low level of oxygen in his blood and advised him to sit up if he had trouble breathing. The next day, July 21st at 10:30 a.m., Sabby was found on the floor of his cell and taken to the nurse's station. He said once again that he couldn't breathe and that he believed he had pneumonia, but a nurse cleared him to go back to his cell, which frustrated Sabby. Quote, "So y'all aren't going to help?" he asked,
according to police records. He began walking back to his cell, but fell on the floor on his way back and required assistance. The nurse said she had seen no signs or symptoms of pneumonia during the morning appointment. That afternoon, a court bailiff said he observed Sabby sweating very heavily and coughing. The judge also saw that Sabby was having trouble breathing and suggested Sabby might have asthma or bronchitis. Sabby said in court that he had been spitting up blood and needed to go to the hospital. Now, right after that is where the video cuts in. They're coming back from that court appearance. Sabby's walking through the door, following everybody else to go back to his cell. He stops and basically leans over because he's having trouble breathing. He can't catch his breath. The guard comes back, throws him to the ground, ends up, as you saw there, pepper spraying him, even though he's on the ground and there's, what, four, five, six people on top of him, as he's screaming, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." They brought him to the nurse's station. He sat there for a few minutes. Then they took him to the shower. He collapsed in the shower, still saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." They drag him back in, drop him in his cell. Again, he's saying the entire time, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." They come back the next day, he's dead. They feel his body's cold. They said cold to the touch the next morning. You look at stuff like this and you thought, come on, man, this doesn't happen in the United States of America, right? I mean, this is so out there. You know, when a guy says, "I can't breathe," here's the normal operating procedure. You fucking take him to the hospital. Now they say, "Oh, well, the nurse and yada yada." But the nurse, in the article, they lay out how the nurse was like, "Yeah, I was in a rush. I had to go pick up my kid." She didn't even fill out, you're supposed to fill out a form every time you do anything. She didn't fill it out. She's like, "Yeah, I don't know, you seem okay. Get the fuck out. I got to go pick up my kid." Take him to the hospital. Take him to the hospital. Take him to the hospital. Come to find out, Huffington Post has been doing some good investigative reporting on this stuff. They say, look, people don't even know. Like, Sandra Bland started the, you know, spark people's interest into looking into how many jail deaths, there are. People didn't, like, we didn't know. We didn't think about it because oftentimes what happens is nobody's doing the investigative reporting, and local media outlets who could do the reporting, they end up not doing it. What they'll do is they'll take whatever released statement there is on a jail death from the police department or from the jail, they'll take the statement, run it on air, run it in the local newspaper, and that's it. Wash their hands of it, and they're done. So these things, guys, here's the crazy thing. This isn't that uncommon. In fact, again, in this piece, they lay out a story I missed, but apparently it came out recently. You know that the black cop, the sheriff, Sheriff David A. Clark, that Fox News has on all the time, super conservative dude. Somebody died in his jail from thirst. A guy died from thirst in a jail in America in today's day and age. I watched that video, and you're just treating him like an animal. There's no question about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're just treating him like an animal. As he's still saying, "I can't breathe," you drag him into the cell, drop him there, and you fucking leave. Could you imagine the sheer terror going on in that poor guy's mind? I keep telling them I can't breathe. They ain't doing dick about it. I keep telling them I can't breathe. They don't care. They're going to leave me here. I can't breathe. I need help. $10 an hour, untrained, don't give a fuck. What are you going to do? You walk away. And then he dies. Who knows how long he was alive after they left and how much pain he went through. Was he alive for 4 hours and struggling to breathe the entire time, coming in and out of consciousness in excruciating pain? When you do stuff like this, you become the criminal. The jail is the criminal. The guards are the criminal. That's what this is. There's no other way around it. Oh, you think, he was a bad guy. He had it coming. Really? Is that the penalty? For maybe, maybe not, allegedly threatening your wife, using bad words against her. That's the death penalty by fucking choking to death. You know what they say he actually had? His lawyers say he had, I believe they said, a pulmonary edema, using the proper medical term. It's when the lungs fill up with fluid. And he's, like, basically drowning. And he died. You have the jail is saying, no, it was a hypertensive heart failure, heart condition. And they even go as far as to say, oh, no, the episode of him being thrown on the ground and being pepper sprayed and having, like, five dudes on top of him, that didn't contribute at all. I mean, he was going to die anyway. Really? Was he going to, even if he was taken to the hospital and immediately got medical attention, and they actually say in the article, no, he actually could have been helped. They could have diagnosed that, and then they could have saved him. But they didn't take him to the hospital. They didn't take him to the hospital because who cares? You're less than human. You're in a prison. Yeah, you have it coming anyway. You did something wrong, right? Huh? We got to treat people with a basic level of human decency. Because this reflects bad on us. This reflects bad on all of us. If this is the jail system in the U.S. or, you know, in our various states within the U.S. If this is how we treat prisoners, what does that say about us? You know, you could say, well, maybe, maybe not. A lot of these people did bad things. Okay. You want to copy their tactics? You want to be worse than them? Like, there's no logic to it, and there's no morality to it. Stuff like this has to stop, man. I mean, there has to be some sort of punishment for all those guards, for the nurse. You can't have it. You have to have clear guidelines, and they have to follow it. And by the way, final point I'll make here. That was a for-profit jail. Of course. All right, guys. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, we'll bring the mood back up. Mike Pence visited his buddy after the election, and then we'll have Rush Limbaugh's awesome conspiracy theory on climate change. All right, stay right there. Thank you.
more. Mike Pence, this goofball, went to his favorite person in the media, and you're going to be a little repulsed at who it is. Mike Pence decided to visit his buddy in the media the night after the VP debate. Guess who it is?
And we are thrilled to have with us Governor Pence. Mike Pence, Indiana, governor running for vice president, fresh off the debate last night. Governor, I have to commend you. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you kept your composure last night. That was some of the rudest beneath us. I've been telling the audience all day, I thought the whole thing was beneath the dignity of the American people, and you handled it magnificently, and how did you do it? You had to just be, I don't know, burning, frustrating at certain points, wanted to just pop out of that, but you didn't. It was well done.
Well, first, Rush, coming from you, that's, I'm very humbled by that. Thank you very much. I just truly do believe that this is a movement of the American people, and it's a movement that speaks to the ideals that really have characterized your voice and your career your many years in radio.
You truly are one of the most gracious and magnanimous. I mean, for you to say what you just said, you are truly one of the, and not about me, I'm talking to the moderator and other things that happened last night, you are truly one of the most magnanimous and gracious men that we have in American politics today.
Promptly after the interview, they broke out the hot baby oil and gave each other a reach around. Okay, you heard it. Mike Pence said it. This campaign, this ticket, Trump and Pence, it's all about bringing Rush Limbaugh's, quote, ideals to the American public and implementing that philosophy. Okay, I saw articles earlier today, or I should say I saw an article earlier today. I think it was Vox that wrote it. And the headline was something to the effect of, can we replace Donald Trump with Mike Pence, whether or not Trump agrees to it? So in other words, oh, Mike Pence is so great. Oh, so much more like an adult. I mean, he speaks in complete sentences. And is well-spoken and articulate. So I guess he's what? By definition, better than Trump? What if he speaks better, so he's a better face on this philosophy, but the philosophy is just as bad, if not worse? And I actually think that's true. So with Donald Trump, every now and then he'll say, you know what, I'm not going to cut Social Security. I'm not going to cut Medicare. I hate the TPP. I hate NAFTA. You know, he said those things. Mike Pence, we have a record. He voted for every outsourcing deal. He voted for the Iraq War. I mean, his record, if you go take their personalities out of it, take how they speak out of it, how they present themselves out of it, and just look at where they fall on the specific policies, Pence is probably worse than Donald Trump. So he's praising Rush Limbaugh's ideals. What are those ideals? What do you want to bring to America, Mike? What's going on here, man? Let's lay that out a little bit. Well, first and foremost, Rush Limbaugh during the Bush administration made a point of defending torture endlessly. Basically making the argument, look, when we do it, it's good because we're us. When anybody else does it, it's bad because they're them. So international law doesn't apply to us, so fuck off. So yeah, let's torture. Well, that's great, and come to find out, we learn that people at Guantanamo, how did they get there? Well, the U.S. government cut deals with warlords in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they just shipped us whoever the fuck they wanted to ship us. Turns out warlords aren't that trustworthy. They weren't jihadists. They weren't in Al-Qaeda. And we tortured these poor people anyway. You know, maybe this is why you have due process. Maybe this is why you ban something like torture. No, Rush was out there defending it nonstop, saying people who aren't okay with it, they hate America. By the way, the thing that's so frustrating about Rush Limbaugh is not only his philosophy, it's that he's also stupid in the process of making the arguments. Like, it is conceivable, agree or disagree with people on certain things,
there could be a smart person who comes up with an argument in favor of a bad policy, like, you know, free trade, so to speak. Rush is the kind of person who's in favor of free trade, but his argument also is the dumbest fucking thing you've ever heard in your life. And he's also massively ignorant. For a guy who supposedly reads the news every day, he don't read the fucking news every day. He's out there on his show, and he makes shit up. He's also against gay marriage, needless to say, goes hand-in-hand with Pence and how vehemently anti-gay he is. Pence, in fact, was most known for the bill in Indiana, which made it so that you can legally discriminate against anybody you want if you say, look, it's my religion. It's a giant loophole. Okay, fuck, I don't like gays. I'm not going to serve you. I don't like blacks. Hey, the Bible says interracial marriage is wrong. Maybe I'm not going to marry white people and black people. All legal in Mike Pence's Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania. In Mike Pence's Indiana. I think the alliteration made me say Pennsylvania. Pence's Pennsylvania. It's Indiana. He was also, Rush Limbaugh was for the Iraq War, argued for that more than anybody else. In fact, he's for virtually every intervention. He was for NAFTA, for free trade deals, for more deregulation, cutting taxes on the rich even more, defended Bush more than anybody at all, I think, in the media. Even O'Reilly abandoned shit before Rush Limbaugh did. Hannity, I think, similar. Well, no, maybe Rush and Hannity are tied in how much they defended George W. Bush. And, of course, my famous fact about Rush Limbaugh, or the famous fact about Rush Limbaugh, he wants to lock up drug addicts even though he is one. He famously said, if somebody does drugs, don't pass go, go right to jail, lock them up, throw away the key. And then later on, everybody found out he was doing up to 30 OxyContin a day, and fucking, he was trying to get his, I don't know, his cleaning lady or something to get it for him. Just unbelievable hypocrite. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. And actually on that, it's even crazier. He's such a fucking partisan hack that in the Republican primary when it was Mitt Romney, they were arguing for cutting Social Security and Medicare. So Rush argued along with Mitt Romney, oh yeah, cutting it's the right way to go. Then in the general election, Romney and Ryan pretended like they never said cut it. And then Rush flipped right along with them. Nobody ever said cut it on the Republican side. Such a fucking hack, it's unbelievable. He just, there's no consistency, there's no principles. He just flips with wherever the Republican Party goes. And obviously there's hypocrisy there, and they'll be in favor of one thing one day and not the next day. NSA is the perfect example too. How many times did Hannity say, when it was George W. Bush and the NSA spying program, it's great, and if you're against it, you hate America. And then under Obama, all of a sudden, oh my God, this is Edward Snowden released this information that shows that they're spying on us. Good googly moogly. Well, I'm against this. This violates the Constitution. Which was it? You loved it under Bush, now you hate it under Obama. No consistency. They're all hacks. And then, of course, Rush Limbaugh doesn't believe in climate change. Brilliant mind here. And he also doesn't believe in evolution. And this is Mike Pence's buddy. And remember, final point here, Mike Pence not only just blew Rush Limbaugh directly after doing the VP debate, going to his safe space with his favorite media figure, he also praised Rush Limbaugh on the floor of Congress. We covered the story. He did this long fawning thing. Well, my career is shaped by Rush Limbaugh. Pence was a fucking radio host before he became a politician. And he says, I've modeled my career after Rush Limbaugh. He said, I was basically a copycat of Rush Limbaugh. And this is the guy who people are saying, you know, maybe he should be the top of the ticket on the Republican side because he's, you know, so reasonable. Next. More Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh has an awesome, awesome conspiracy theory for us. Let's have some fun.
It has been a serious storm from the get-go, and I have perfected being able to analyze how hurricanes are reported. I've become an expert in spotting the politics in hurricane tracking and hurricane forecasting. And by that, I mean the people that work at the National Hurricane Center is part of the National Weather Service, which is part of the Commerce Department, which is part of the Obama administration, which by definition has been tainted, just like the DOJ has. And we know, in fact, Obama is telling, Obama is actually telling people that global warming, that climate change is having a very profound impact in the war on Syria. The war in Syria. It's patently absurd. And there's now a story from the Pew Center for People in the Press showing that a majority of Americans do not believe the consensus of scientists predicting that there is climate change. Well, the left doesn't like that, so they keep ramming it down our throats. So in hurricane tracking and hurricane forecasting, I've been able to spot where I think they might be playing games, because it's in the interests of the left to have destructive hurricanes, because then they can blame it on climate change, which they can desperately continue trying to sell. The problem for them is, after Hurricane Katrina, remember, Al Gore goes out there, and all these people start saying, this is just the beginning, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to have these kind of hurricanes every year, numerous hurricanes like that, and they're going to be more destructive than Katrina, and it's all because we've got climate change. And then what happened? We had 11 years of no hurricanes, 11 straight years, no major hurricanes striking land in the United States, which just bores a hole right through the whole climate change argument. So over the recent past 5 or 6 years, whenever there has been a hurricane, I think I've been able to spot when they try to make it look like it might hit a population center, because they want people to think this way. Hurricane reported, must be climate change. They want that thought process. And one of the ways you can bring that about is to try to convince people that a given hurricane that may pop up is aiming right for a major population center. It's kind of like UFOs. You know, UFOs never land where there are smart people. UFOs always land in trailer parks and places. You ever notice that?
It is genuinely hard for me to digest all of that stupid. God damn, son. That was like a tsunami of stupid. You're comparing climate change to UFOs? What the fuck? Okay, let's try our best to break this down. So the overall argument is, hurricane reporting is a liberal conspiracy. You got us, man, you got us. And I love how quickly the theory falls apart, because he's saying, you know, these liberals and these scientists, they're trying to say that it's going to hit, this hurricane is going to hit massive population centers, because they want to oversell the hurricane because it's part of this climate change conspiracy. Rush, people are going to know immediately whether or not the hurricane hit a population center or didn't hit a population center. So why would they make it? So, for example, why would they just make something up like that, and then it would be disproven 3 days later? If indeed there isn't a hurricane, or if it's not strong, or whatever the fuck he's trying to argue here, we would just know a few days later. So it's like they make up this thing. It's like, no, I'm telling you, it's going to be really bad because of climate change, and then nothing happens. Well, then everybody knows, oh, so you were wrong. He doesn't even think his conspiracy is through. That's unbelievable. And furthermore, come on, man, what he's saying is actually kind of dangerous, because he's downplaying the effects of this very disastrous hurricane happening right now. We have the videos. We have the footage, the evidence, the proof coming out of Haiti right now. Over 65 people are already dead as a result of this goddamn thing. It's hitting the Bahamas as we speak. So they're saying it's going to be bad in Miami, and there's an evacuation. There's a state of emergency already declared in every fucking county in Florida, and there are evacuation orders for certain parts of Florida. And this jackass is like, okay, sure. Counterpoint, maybe hurricane reporting is a liberal conspiracy. Yeah, Rush, you fucking got us. And then look at all the other false things. After Hurricane Katrina, there's been 11 straight years of no hurricanes. What? Hurricane Irene, Hurricane Sandy. Bitch, I lost power for Hurricane Sandy for over a week. There was the Staten Island, where my sister lives. Half the fucking island was wiped out. People's houses and livelihoods gone. Billions of dollars worth of damage. No hurricane since Hurricane Katrina. How stupid are you? You are the most embarrassing talk show host in the history of talk show hosts. Anything you say can be debunked with a simple Google search, which goes to my next point. You know, a new poll is released. The majority of people don't believe climate scientists and what they say about climate change. Second he said that, I pull up Google, I look for it. Exact opposite is true. The new report, 70% of the American people do believe in climate change. He's just a fucking liar. He just flips everything on its head. He just flips fucking everything on its head. Most people don't believe in it because I don't believe in it. Okay, but I just looked it up. It's the opposite of that. 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 This guy, and he has the nerve to call liberals low-information voters. Okay, let me try to relax here. On top of there being hurricanes since Katrina, we're having record wildfires right now. Record wildfires. We've had every month there's been articles panicked from the NOAA where they're like, we just had a record month here in terms of temperature. We're shattering records. It's been happening every single fucking month. This guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. We just had flooding in Louisiana that was disastrous. He's like, no. Again, reports, there are people dying in heat waves in the Middle East, and there are further reports that at a certain point it's going to be uninhabitable. I swear to God, when the polar bears, the two that remain, catch fire, Rush Limbaugh's going to be like, no, liberal conspiracy. You know that guy has some rancid gas. You could tell just by looking at him. And then the final thing here is, even the point, so the Syria point. So, oh, war in Syria. They're saying climate change impacted the war in Syria. Ha ha! Stupid liberals! Dude, did you even bother to read it? And he acts like it's just like liberal blogs making it up. No, they're experts that look into shit like this and they connect the dots. I read the piece on that. I was skeptical when I saw the headlines. I read the article. I was like, oh, that appears to be fairly irrefutable. So what happened? Well, there was such a terrible and prolonged drought in Syria that people went from, you know, living outside of the cities, making their own living, and then because of the drought, they couldn't make a living anymore out there. They had to come into the cities to try to find work. There was an overpopulation in the cities. There wasn't enough work. There was unrest that came about as a result of the fact that people can't find work and there's unemployment, and which leads to more poverty, more anger, so on and so forth. And then that was one of the factors that led to the attempt to overthrow the government. Boom. Spark of the Civil War. Again, when you connect the dots and you read it, if you actually give a shit to learn about the theories you talk about, maybe you'd have a better appreciation for them. But actually, no, because it's Rush Limbaugh. He probably would just read it and either not understand it at all or just reject it because, I don't know, this is a fact that would make the liberals look good, so I'm against it. I'm against facts because they make liberals look good. That's Rush Limbaugh in a nutshell. Okay. All right, let me do the Newt Gingrich story here. And then that probably is going to be it because I only got 5 minutes left. Newt Gingrich is involved in the American Renewal Project, which is a right-wing movement to try to get pastors to run for office. So let's see what his message for us is.
You're at a moment in history that is as defining as anything in the Old Testament. You're at a point where some people have to have the courage to witness for Christ. Some people have to have the courage to stand up and tell the truth to their flock. Some people have to have the courage to get into the public arena themselves. I'm particularly proud of what David has done in developing an entire program nationwide to encourage ministers to run for office. And why shouldn't they? Ministers are educated. They're used to leading people. They're articulate. We have not seen the Judeo-Christian historic traditions threatened the way they are today, ever in American history. You have a chance to turn all this around. You have a chance to work in a program with people like David Lane, to reach out, running yourself, encouraging others to run, encouraging your flock to understand why it's important. And finally, I think you have a duty. You have a duty to have the courage to stand up and tell the truth. Tell the truth about those who would impose a totalitarian secularism on us, force us to bow to the power of the government in order to do things that our religion forbids. You have a duty to tell the truth.
Totalitarian secularism. Okay. Just because you put two words together doesn't make it a thing. That doesn't exist. Totalitarian secularism. Okay, secularism is simply having government not be religious. So government is not in the game of religion. That doesn't mean that the government forces you to be atheistic, like the Soviet Union, for example, where it was like a militarized communism, where if you don't agree with the doctrine of the state, then you're in trouble. If you're religious, you're in trouble. It's not that. Secularism is, okay, the government, you can't take your religion and force it on other people through the government. So in a secular society, you're allowed to be Christian, you're allowed to be Muslim, you're allowed to be Hindu, you're allowed to be Buddhist, you're allowed to be a Scientologist, you're allowed to be a Mormon, the list goes on and on. You could be atheist, you could be agnostic, you could be whatever the fuck you want to be. So you have the freedom to do that. But nobody has the right to take their religion, force it on other people through the government. So secularism, by its nature, is moderate. Secularism is neutral by its nature. But notice what they do. They flip everything on its head. So they believe in some rather kooky ideas like, you know, for using the state to force women not to have abortions, you know, blocking gay people from getting married. So as they're rather authoritarian, what do? Accuse the secularists, authoritarian, that's what you are. No, it's the oldest trick in the book, man. And furthermore, these are the same people that claim to love the founding principles of the country, but they reject the First Amendment. This is the Constitution. Secularism is one of the key components of the U.S. Constitution. But nope, throw it out because it doesn't coincide with their ideology. And look, the only good news is this is a dying philosophy, man. This isn't a thing anymore. Millennials look at this and they laugh, rightfully so. They're listening to me. They're not listening to you, Newt Gingrich, up there like, you know, pastors, people who believe in fucking that a zombie Jew carpenter is God, you really need to run for office because you study and you're smart. Thankfully, it's going away, and it can't happen soon enough because these people are wrong and they have poisonous, toxic ideas. Religious fundamentalism all across the world is a virus, and I hope it goes away and it's replaced not by some form of, you know, militant atheism or communism where you force people to be not religious, but I hope it's replaced by freedom and liberty and secularism. All right, guys, I'm out of time. Love you. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Mwah. Peace.